Today on In Spirit Radio, we are talking with Marty Goetz, well-known singer and songwriter, performer. Marty, welcome to In Spirit Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today for a visit.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate your having me. I don't know how well-known I am, but thank you for the nice words.
Oh, you are very well-known, and we really want to hear a little bit more about you and your life and your ministry. I know you've been performing and singing for a number of years, but tell us a little bit, go back to the beginnings and how it all started for you and where you grew up and how God has been using you in this ministry over the years.
Well, I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, to a son of Albert and Florence Goetz, who were, my mother was a first generation daughter to a Polish immigrant who came over before the Holocaust, came over in the early 1900s through Ellis Island and landed in Cleveland, Ohio, and my father's grandparents came from Russia, so he was second generation, but I was raised in a 90% Jewish suburb of Cleveland called Beechwood, and raised with really no knowledge hardly at all of anyone who wasn't Jewish, except for, you know, people who worked at my father's furniture store. My father was in the furniture business, so we had connections with people outside of our tribe, so to speak, but the world I live in was almost like living in Israel, except it was in America. So, because everything I knew was from a Jewish context, but definitely living in the greatest country in the world, the United States of America. That, you know, in my day, I was born in, you know, wait for it, you know, 1952. So I lived in a world of Leave It to Beaver and, you know, the dawn of television, and I was just a typical American suburban kid. But every Friday night, we'd go to my Orthodox grandparents' house from my mother's side, and we would celebrate Shabbat, or as we called it then, Shabbos. And then we would celebrate Passover, we would celebrate Hanukkah, we would go to the temple on the high holy days, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So we were fully ensconced in our Jewish life, but we were also good, you know, red-blooded American folks, and that's where I grew up.
After growing up in Cleveland, Marty went to college in Pittsburgh, on to New York, and then it was off to California, where he had a real encounter with Jesus, Yeshua, the one true Messiah.
And this was back in the middle 70s. And the big term in those days was born again, being a born-again Christian, you know. People like Chuck Colson and things like that, who was with Nixon and who became a born-again Christian. And all of a sudden, that was the big news. And it was right around the time of, you know, after the Jesus Revolution. So people were getting saved, filled with the Spirit, all those things. Bert was one of those people. But I, as a Jew, didn't want to have anything to do with it because, and this is the almost the most important thing to say, is that Jews from the, in America when I lived, Jews and Jesus just didn't mix. There was no, you know, Jews didn't believe in Jesus. Jesus wasn't for the Jews. Jesus was the Christian God. That was them and this is us. That's the way it was. So when Bert became a born-again, on-fire Pentecostal Christian, I joke in my concerts often, I said he began to Pentecost me, and so with the gospel, and I didn't want to hear anything of it, so I split up the act, and I split up the act and started writing songs with, I'm almost done with this initial answer to your question, I began to write songs with my cousin from Beechwood, and my cousin, just parenthetically, speaking of children's television shows, my cousin went on to be the writer for a show called Reading Rainbow, which was a very well-known show on PBS for a number of years. My cousin wrote the songs in that particular show, but that came later. At this time, my cousin Dennis and I were writing songs together, and because I had broken up with Bert, and yet he still was preaching to me. He'd come in. I was playing in piano bars and saloons and things like that. And he would come in with his friends and watch me, and they'd tell me about Jesus. I didn't want to have anything to do with them. So on the basis of the songs Dennis and I had written, I moved to California. But, and this is the important part, I was so, if you read in the letter to the Romans, Paul mentions that he magnifies his ministry to provoke to jealousy those who are his kinsmen and save some of them. So what happened, but he also talks about the scripture says, I will provoke you to anger by a nation who, a foolish nation, that's how God speaks of it. And in other words, what God was saying was, I'm going to use people to provoke you to think about me, people that you would not have expected. And Bert was one of those people. He was a Gentile from Altoona, Pennsylvania. Our backgrounds could not have been more different, but he provoked me by his witness for Jesus so much. First with anger, by the way, but it provoked me to pick up a Bible. So while I was going to California to try to sell the songs I had written and get into show business, because that was still my goal, I wanted to be like a Billy Joel or Elton John or something like that. On the way, I was reading the Bible, and I also had a friend in California who was a friend of Bert and mine's that we had known from the Catskill Mountains. She also was a Pentecostal Christian, just like Bert. Matter of fact, they were really good friends, and she had moved to California. So when I was out there, I was hanging out with her. We were just friends. There was nothing between us, but we were just friends. She took me, but I was reading the Bible, and Mike, one of the biggest things that struck me, as soon as I opened the dreaded New Testament, I read these words. This is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Well, every little Jewish kid used to sing a song called David Melech Israel, which is mean David, king of Israel. So I knew of David. Then it said, and the son of Abraham. Well, every Jewish kid knows that we're sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, the patriarchs. So it got my attention immediately, and I started reading and have never stopped, to be honest with you. I started reading the Gospels, and I started thinking, well, this Jesus, he sounds awfully Jewish. I mean, he celebrates Hanukkah in the book of John, John 10. He's celebrating Hanukkah. He's celebrating Passover. We use the Last Supper is Passover. And all of a sudden I realized that the New Testament, what we call the New Testament, which is actually the apostolic writings of the apostles and the followers of Yeshua, Jesus, Yeshua, of course, being his Hebrew name. All the New Testament is, as we call it, all that is the witness, the story of Yeshua, and the witness of those who believed in him, and the visions that God gives them to tell us about the future. But really, the New Testament is a continuation of the covenant God made with Abraham way, way, way back when he said, I'm going to make of you a people, I'm going to give you a land, and I'm going to make you a blessing to all the nations. That was the promise. So I read the Bible and I was provoked because I thought, well, this is a problem. I kind of like this Jesus. I kind of like what he says. I like what I'm reading. And 2 weeks later, my friend Annie, Bert's friend and my friend, takes me to the beach to hear a man preach. His name was Hal Lindsey. And sure, he, of course, yeah, had written the late great Planet Earth. And I was provoked by his preaching, too, because it made sense to me. And even, and when they did communion, speaking of Passover, when they did communion, which really is a remembrance of Passover or a type of Passover, he brought up a guy who said the Hebrew prayers over the elements. I thought, uh-oh, I'm in big trouble. So if you could go back in time and see me on that beach in California, you'd see a guy absolutely in a turmoil, a swirl of thoughts and emotions. And after that beach service, she took me to one more, which I didn't want to go to, but she said, I have to take you here, because otherwise I can't take you home. I have to go to this service. So she took me, and it was called the Vineyard. the pastor was Ken Gullickson. He had been a protege of Chuck Smith, who became famous these last few years because of Jesus Revolution, the movie Jesus Revolution. Ken had been one of Chuck Smith's guys, and he started the Vineyard, which was really a Calvary Chapel at the time, and it was in the San Fernando Valley of California. Well, Annie took me out there. Ken preached, and Annie with another friend, they could see that I was, when he gave the invitation, because in those days, an invitation was given every Sunday, every single time. That was a very evangelistic time in the following years after Jesus' revolution in this country. And I just knew at that time, Mike, that the Lord was speaking to me and saying, this is your time, this is it. So I took Annie's hand and I walked up the aisle and I bent my knee and they gave me a Bible and they said a prayer and they said, welcome to the family of God. And as I always joke, and I'll finish this long answer with this statement and then you can chime in, I said to myself, oy vey, which in Yiddish means, oy, what am I going to do now? How am I going to tell my parents, my Jewish parents, that I have become a born again? How am I going to do that? And that began my story way back in 1978, period.
Wow.
that was one long run on set.
Oh, that was fantastic. We are talking to Marty Goetz today here on In Spirit Radio. And Marty, I have been in Christian radio in Wisconsin for over 40 years, so that kind of tells you how old I am. And after
sorry about those Packers.
Oh, well, that's okay. and you know, after a number of years in Christian radio in Madison, my wife and I were led in our retirement years to start our own ministry, which is called InSpiritRadio.online. It's an online Christian ministry that's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And some of the things that the Lord has been sharing with us recently is how we can serve Him in a variety of ways. And one of the ways that we've adapted our music is to add a Messianic program on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday evenings. We've added a program called Messianic Praise, which you and your daughter and Paul Wilbur and a number of your old friends are a very big part of. And so
I just spoke with Joshua Aaron this morning. I'm sure you.
Oh, yes. Yes, we do. And so because of the birth of our program, Messianic Praise, we were so looking forward to getting a chance to spend a little time with you and visit. And there's so many things we want to talk with you about, because certainly Messianic music is something that's near and dear to your heart. But if you could, maybe just share a little bit for us that aren't as familiar with it, some of the ministry value or some of the ways it ties into our Christian music of today as well.
Well, at the risk of, first of all, I'm so glad that you and with your wife, right?
Yes, my wife Jeannie, yes.
Yeah, well, God bless you guys. You know, we're in a very similar situation. We, twice a week, Mike, twice a week from our home, and it all happened because of COVID, because I was a traveling musician for over 30 years. I was out almost every week of my life playing in churches and Messianic congregations and conferences. But when COVID hit, everything stopped. And I'll just go ahead and say it. I believe the Lord literally birthed a new form of ministry for us in our home. And we do a concert from our home twice a week, Tuesday and Friday, 7 o'clock Central. We do a show called House of Worship. And in that show, the best way I can describe it is it's like, you know, I told you early in my life, I played in piano bars and restaurants and saloons. This is like a sanctified saloon. it's as if you walk into a room and you sit around my piano, just like people would sit in a piano bar. And we sing songs of worship and praise, and we pray for people. And they've developed, the listeners have developed their own little community while they're listening to us. Isn't that wild?
It really is. It really is.
And just like a piano bar, because I think everybody's listening to everything I'm doing. It turns out they're all talking while I'm singing.
I have to tell you, Marty, my wife Jeannie and I are two of your biggest fans. We've been watching this probably for almost a year now, and these House of Worships are real appointment destination watching for us every Tuesday and Friday night.
Now, Mike, your listeners should know I did not know that. I didn't, you know, all I knew was I was supposed to call you at 10:55 and I was late. I called you at 10:58 or something like that. That's all I know. The late Marty gets. But I didn't know that, but I'm so thrilled that you did. I describe it appropriately, do you think?
Oh, you sure did. And the recent Phantom of the Opera decorations and costume. And
so you're current.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So we really, okay, we love it.
Go ahead.
No, we really love it, you know, and on Friday night with Shabbat and with our worship on Saturday, we just find it as a wonderful way to start out that part of the week. And so we thank you for all that you're doing. We really enjoy it.
Well, I thank you, Mike, and I'm so glad that it seems to me the Lord has done a very similar thing with you two, which is great. You know, he's given us our own little, I see it like our own little, you know, at risk of our own little flock, so to speak, to minister to. And I want to answer your question though regarding the Messianic. Since you watch House of Worship, you'll understand. You know, you just mentioned Phantom of the Opera. We did that for Purim because on Purim people dress up in costume, and you'll understand that my definition of Messianic music, Mike, is. I'm going to try to, if you don't mind my parsing that word a little bit.
Sure.
I don't look at myself. Now, this is my own eyes. I don't look at myself as a messianic artist. I look at myself as a man who had an encounter with Yeshua, Jesus, and I was a musician. And so instead of singing about, you know, my latest love or my, you know, my broken heart or my dashed ambitions, I began to sing about my Messiah. So my definition of messianic music, if you'll indulge me for me to kind of just walk this out with you, my definition of messianic music, according to Marty Goetz, is a man in love with his Messiah singing songs in his name. For him, through him, to him. In other words, I don't look at what I do as messianic music. I just look at my music as coming from a man who belongs to his Messiah. Does that make any sense?
It sure does.